welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Give you glory, God the Father, my Creator.
Yes.
Give you glory,
yes.
God the Son,
yes.
My Redeemer.
Yes.
Jesus.
Give you glory,
Brother.
God the Holy Spirit,
yes.
My Sustainer.
Yes.
I tell you, God has been good to
yes.
us.
Yes.
Yes, He has.
Yes. Yes.
If you would, turn in your Bibles, your tablets, your smartphone, to the book of Joshua.
Right.
Joshua is the sixth book. It's in the Old Testament. And I want to read in your hearing Joshua chapter 2.
Okay.
And I'll be reading verses 15 to 22. And because it is a long portion of scripture, I mean, you're more than welcome to stand, and you're more than welcome to sit. But most important, keep your Bible open. Will you do that for me?
Amen.
Because of the length of the narrative, I would ask that when we leave, that you would read Joshua chapter 2, that you would read the whole chapter. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Praise you.
Here we go.
Praise you, Lord.
Starting at verse 15.
Yes, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Be reading the King James Version.
Okay,
I'm sure you have
bless
a word or translation that's very similar.
King James.
If you know, I am a bit of a traditionalist. By that I mean today is Communion Sunday.
Amen.
And God has blessed me to take me to a text that will line up with Communion Sunday.
Amen.
I always want to be careful to give God the credit.
Amen.
Because I had no idea to go to this text.
Wow.
I also want to give God the credit because I don't know what's going to happen in these next 20 minutes.
Amen. Sure.
I know I studied. But I need His Spirit. Here we go. We're there. We should be there by now. All right. Verse 15 says, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. And hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return, and afterwards you may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of thy oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line, a scarlet thread, in the window, which thou hast let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever goes out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. We will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood will be on our heads. And if any hand be upon him, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear.
Yes.
And she said, according to your words,
yeah.
So be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And when they came upon a mountain, abode there 3 days, until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers sought them all the way, but found them now. Our focal verses for today's message is in verse 15, verse 18, and verse 21. Verse 15, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town's wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Verse 18, behold, when you come into thy land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou hast let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household unto thee. Verse 21. And she said, according to your word, so be. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. For the next few minutes, and how the Spirit leads, I want to talk from the sermon topic, the sermon theme, the means of salvation.
Wow.
The means of salvation. If you would, if you could pray with me.
Yeah.
Father, we come to the preaching moment. God, we thank you for being a God that sits high and a God that looks low. God, you know your servant is just a frail body of bones that's wrapped in human skin. God, I ask that you would take my mouth and let me be your mouthpiece. Allow your spirit and your word to speak through me. For Father, you know like I know, I need thee. I need thee every hour. God needs you like the morning needs the sun. I need you, God, like the beach needs the sand. And I need you like the river needs the ocean. So, Father, I ask that you would walk with me this morning, God. I ask, God, that you would take my hand. God, that you would lift me up. And that you would have your way. And we'll be careful, God, to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. All of God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Want to talk about the means of salvation. We started chapter 2 in verse 15. But if you could just bear with me for just a few minutes, because I need to set up the pericope for which we're about to preach. And in order to set it up, I just ask that you hang in there with me for a few minutes until I get to verse 15. Is that all right? You see, the background or the backdrop of the text where we see the context that we want to preach is in verses 1 to 14. And I am so encouraged that you have kept your Bible open. You see, for it is in verse number 1 that we are told what is going on in this biblical narrative. You see, verse 1 says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went out, and they came into the house of a harlot named Rahab. Now, when we keep reading the narrative, we find out that somehow, when the spies arrived at Rahab's house, that somehow word got back to the king. Not only where they were, but why they were there. And when the word got back to the king immediately sent out some of his men. And he sent them to Rahab's house. But Rahab, she took the two spies and she hid them in the flat of a roof. So that when the king's men showed up and knocked on her door. Rahab, and I could just see this. She was cool. She was calm. And she was collected. She said, with a straight face, they were here, but they're not here now. They left. They left before it got dark because they wanted to get out of the city before the gate shut. Now understand this. Rahab was risking her life and the life of her entire family. Think about this. The guards are at the door. They're on orders to come and get the men out of her house. The guards or the king's men did not say, move out the way. We don't believe you. Let us check it out for ourselves. She had to be convinced. So the king's men, they leave and they head towards the Jordan. Rahab, who hit the spies, and the text says that she hit him in the stalk of the flat of the roof. Let me see if I can help you out. The text is telling the teachers she hit him real good. Yes, she did. She hit him real good. Text says, later that night, Rahab goes up to the roof and she begins to have dialogue or conversation with the two spies. She comes up and she begins to testify or give a confession in verses 8, 9, and 10. 9, she says, we know the Lord has given you the land. I wish I could stop right there. Let me keep moving. She says, we heard how the Lord dried up the rivers or the water of the Red Sea. Now you got to keep in mind, there's no Facebook during that time. There's no Twitter at that time. There's no texting at that time. There's no email at that time. There's no Instagram. But she says, we know that your God is the true God. He's the God of heaven and the God of earth. What a woman of faith. When we get to verse 12, I'm almost there at 15. Rahab says to the two spies, she said, look, I've shown you kindness. Look, I've saved your life. All that I ask is that you show kindness unto me and my family. She said, save my brother, save my sister, Save my mother. Save my family. She said, deliver all of us from death. She said, look, when you come and conquer the land, I need you to save my family. Now, don't be too quick to judge Rahab. Don't be too quick and throw stones at Rahab. Because the text says she was a prostitute. Another translation says she was a harlot. You see, the text is teaching us that our God can use anybody for our good and for his glory. You see, we serve a God that uses people with character defects and shortcomings. Can I call the roll for a minute? God used a murderer named Moses to set his people free. God used a drunk like Noah to provide safety on the ark when it rained 40 days and 40 nights. God used an adulterer like David to write some of the greatest praise and worship songs ever written. And if you look in the mirror this morning, you know that God is still using people with character defects and shortcomings. That's a shout right there that our God will still want to use you and I. What I love about God. You see, you're never too dirty for God to clean you. You're never too broke for God to fix you. You're never too far for God to reach you. You're never too guilty for God to forgive you. You're never too lost for God to find you. Don't you dare look down your nose at Rahab. For God used this harlot named Rahab to save and hide the two spies. Now, don't miss this. The text is tailored to teach us that we cannot judge where our help is going to come from. Yes. I must admit, while I was studying this text, I kept getting stuck with the two spies at the house of the harlot. The text says, right here in verse number one, and they went and they came into the harlot's house named Rahab, and they lied there. Now let me be transparent for me. My first impression was, were they clergy? Were they ministers? But close reading of the text doesn't say that they were clergy or that they were ministers. But what the text does say, that they were people of God who were on a divine assignment. You see, they were serving in ministry. And if I could put it another way, they were serving in the ministry of the land surveyors. And I know that's right. These teach us something about serving in ministry. See, first, they teach us that you can do the right thing for the right reason, and you will, not you may, but you will encounter trouble and resistance. Can I get an amen? Somebody. For the king's men were not coming to welcome them, but the king's man was coming to kill them. But I kept asking myself, what were they doing at the house of Ahab? So I had to do my exegetical due diligence. And in the form of cultural exegesis, I had learned that in that culture, the house of a harlot was a good place to hide out and avoid detection. You see, it was normal in that day for an out-of-towner to enter such a house. So they did so not to raise any type of suspicion. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just want you to know that when you serve God in ministry, that you will find yourself in some strange places. And I know I'm right about that. But be of good cheer, because wherever you are, know that God has you there for a reason. Let me hurry and get to verse 15 so I can start preaching. Somebody said you're preaching already. Yeah. Can I share one more reason why the spies was at the house of the harlot? Yeah. You see, we serve a God who has pre-vision. This word pre means before, and the word vision means to see. What I'm trying to say is, God sees things before they happen. And because we serve a God of pre-vision, meaning God already knew the spies would be in danger. God already knew that the king's men were coming to kill him. God already knew that there was one woman in of faith in that whole town that God could use. God not only has prevision, but he also has provision, which means that God will provide. Yes, he will. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And being a God of deliverance, God in his pre-vision provided provision. In other words, God had already worked it out. God had already provided a way of escape for the two spies. So you say, why were they at the house of the harlot? Because it was God ordained. Amen. Now, we have verse 15. Praise God. Y'all making me work. 15, we see the means of their deliverance. 15 says, she let him down by a cord through the window of her house. Notice, if you will, in our focus verses, verse 15, 18, and 21. We see something similar in 15. It's called a cord. And 18 is called a scarlet thread. And 21 is called a scarlet line. But many simply refer to it or call it the scarlet rope. Some translations will call it the crimson cord. They call it crimson to highlight its red color. As one studies the Bible, one thing that you look for is repeated words or repeated phrases. And in this portion of scripture, three times, verse 15, verse 18, and verse 21, it's mentioned about the scarlet rope, which means that it is important and it has significance. You see, as early as the first century, biblical scholars such as Clement of Rome, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Origen, all sought to answer what is the symbolism, what is the meaning of the scarlet rope. Well, that brings us to the relevant question of today. What is the significance of the scarlet rope? Man, y'all asked some good questions on this Communion Sunday. I want to give you three answers. I should say three brief answers, because we got to get to Communion. And I'm going to take my seat. Is that all right? First thing. This scarlet rope, it's a sign, working with the letter S this morning. The text says, tie the scarlet thread in the window, and when the army invades Jericho, that they'll see the rope in the window, and it will serve as a sign that everyone in the house will be saved. You see, it's very similar to Passover. You see, this scarlet rope, which is red in color, is the color of the blood of Jesus. Yes! And just like the blood of the Lamb worked that night in Egypt at the Passover, it'll be a sign that the devil, the enemy, will have to pass over you and I. For the blood is a sign that we've been redeemed by the Lord. It's a sign. This word, sign, one of the definitions of the word sign means that a sign points to something. You see, the sign of the scarlet rope, it points to the preview of a future coming attraction. For it points to a hill on Calvary, where they stretched him wide and they dropped him low, and he died for you and me. Jesus. Second, this scarlet rope, it's a symbol. I'm working with S's this morning. My first S is a sign. My second S, it's a symbol. You see, a symbol has deeper meaning than a sign. You see, a symbol serves as a reminder. See, the scarlet rope was tied to the window so that when the army invaded the land, they would see the rope and be reminded of the covenant or the oath that they gave Rahab, and that her family would be saved. You see, for you and for I, this scarlet rope is a reminder that Jesus' atoning work on Calvary's cross. For when we come to the communion table, we are reminded of Christ's death on Calvary's cross. For in the altar is the inscription, the words of Jesus himself. He said, do this in remembrance of me. It's a symbol. It's a reminder. My last point. Scarlet rope. First, it's a sign. Second, it's a symbol. But lastly, it's the means of salvation. So it's a sign, it's a symbol, and it's salvation. You see, in Joshua chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, the Israelites who took the city, when they saw the scarlet rope, it was a means of salvation, meaning a means of deliverance from danger for Rahab and her family. You see, for you and for I, we experience salvation through the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Jesus paid the price for our sin. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. What it says, the blood of Jesus provided the means for our salvation. Leviticus teaches us that life is in the blood. So no human blood could do. You see, everlasting blood had to be shed in order for us to have everlasting life. It's the blood of Jesus that saves us, that keeps us, that protects us. The Hebrew writer said, the blood of the bull, the blood of the goats, the blood of the sheep, they could only cover our sin. But the blood of Jesus can cleanse all of our sin. I like how the songwriter says, what can wash away my sin? What can make me white as snow? Mountain. salvation. Lord, we thank you. God, we praise you. Yes, we know it was the blood. We thank you for this communion Sunday that we can reminisce and always remember what the blood means to us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we thank you. As we stand on our feet and we open up the doors of the church.